Let's pray, and then we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 to 12, and then move on into some other material. But Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for just a nice summer's day. We thank you for the coolness of the place that we have to gather this morning here as a part of the campus of Thanksgiving, and for homes that have air conditioning and all the rest. We thank you, too, for the gift of your Holy Spirit, for the gift of your Word, which you use both of them to speak into our lives, to bring life, to bring direction, to bring guidance for living, even in the midst of our daily circumstances and routine. And the specific topic before us this morning, Lord, is that of our dreams. And we recognize that they are ways that you communicate to us, or one of the ways. And Lord, we desire to be able to understand or to handle them appropriately, to be able to discern what you're trying to tell us through them. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd come and be our teacher today, that you'd guide and direct our conversation, reveal truth, reveal understanding, and help us to make application to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll turn to this 1 Corinthians 2 text first, and just take a look at that. Got to find my Bible, though. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 through 12. And there's a principle embedded there that I think is just really important that we go back to, because it's directive in a lot of different ways. So 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 through 12. The Apostle Paul, of course, is writing to the church at Corinth, and he's talking about, in general, our need to be reliant upon the Holy Spirit. And he says in verse 10, "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit." And he's talking about wisdom and the mysteries of God, hidden wisdom, and so on. And he says, "Revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among man knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know things freely given to us by God." When you think about the Word of God, the primary way in which God has revealed himself is that we recognize that the Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture, that the Holy Spirit inspired men to write down and to speak what he wanted written. And so one of the primary principles that we respect when we go to interpret or to apply the Word of God in our lives is that we recognize that the author of Scripture is the one who brings revelation and understanding. That as the author of Scripture, it's the Holy Spirit who is in the best place, if you will, to help us interpret what he originally wrote, right? So we're looking back to the original author of the letters in order to help us understand what is being said, and then to take that and make application to our lives. I think dreams are the same principle, in that it is the Holy Spirit who's giving us or orchestrating the dreams, and in that way is the one that we need to look to bring understanding about what it is that's going on there. So the principle is pretty clearly stated in that second half of verse 11. It says, "Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God." And so, as the author, and I'm just going to use the two synonymously, of Scripture or of dreams, the author then is also the one to best bring revelation and interpretation. Anybody want to push back on that, or do you feel like that's incorrect? I think that the same, and you say, well, how is it that I think that God is authoring our dreams? Which might be a really interesting question to ask. But if you think about your dream life in general, you tend to dream about that which is heavy on your heart or that you've been preoccupied with during the day, generally, don't we? I mean, Bill's not. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. Or it might be something that more globally that we've been thinking about or addressing in life, but maybe didn't spend a lot of time on that day. But the dreams tend to surround, even if they don't, even if it's not immediately recognizable how they relate to the kind of the issues of our hearts, the stuff that we're concerned about in life. And so I think that what God is doing is that he's bringing revelation, he's bringing understanding to the things that we're working over and carrying in our hearts, if you can figure it out. Yes. Well, there is that piece of it. Boy, this is working out really well for me. Because you've just talked about the two things that I keep hearing from people anytime that I engage them with this topic, is that, first of all, I don't remember what I'm dreaming about. Or they'll say something like, well, I don't hardly dream at all, ever. And I don't think that's true. I think that what's happening is that we're not remembering our dreams. There was a season in my life not too long ago where I would have said, I hardly ever dream. And then it was like all of a sudden God got my attention and I began to pray every night as I went to bed, Lord, help me to remember when I awake the dreams of this night. And kind of more gradually, all of a sudden I began to remember kind of fragments and then kind of a little bit bigger pieces, and then all of a sudden, and then after a while it was like the whole thing just kind of opened up. And so I think that, and there could be qualifiers to that statement in that sometimes if we're taking medication or something that's disrupting our sleep patterns or that. But when we're sleeping and following that kind of that normal cycle of sleep, I believe that God is investing himself in that dream cycle to communicate to us. I had that same kind of experience. Yeah, I said the ones that are really important, Lord, help me remember those. Right. Well, the author of the material that we used in the beginning when we started, Mark Verkler, it was his belief and his contention that every dream that we have was God seeking to tell us something. Now obviously, as parents, when either we're in that active mode or in the years that we were parenting, we were continually speaking and interacting with our children. Now, not everything that we said to them is of the same importance or even value in our own minds, but it doesn't mean that we're not speaking, that we're not communicating. And so I would see the same principle in play when it comes to God in our dream life, is that not every dream that we have, even though it's of God, is of the same importance as others. But it doesn't mean that it's not God speaking to us or saying something to us. And I think you'll just have to test that for yourself. And early on, I think it's going to be, the temptation is going to be, well, I really don't see how that fits, or that doesn't make any sense to me. And we don't get to a place where we feel like we've got any kind of solid interpretation of what the dream is. And so then we place it over here and we say, well, that couldn't have been of God. I would want to suggest that rather than saying that, well, it just wasn't of God, put it in a different category that says that, well, it might have been of God, but I'm not sure. At least I don't have the interpretation for it yet. Sure. I think that when dreams are repeated, I think that that's something that God is really wanting you to pay attention to. And I think that another way to maybe to provide some discernment amongst kind of the plethora of dreams that we have is that the ones that we wake up and there's kind of this really strong sense of emotion one way or another, I think that when they touch us more deeply in the emotional realm, I think that that's one that you probably want to pay more attention to as well, whether you're either sad or concerned or happy or whatever it is. I think that that's probably also one that there's more... Well, part of it is that we have to remember also that sleeping is overrated. You know, if you get a couple, 3 hours, that's enough.
For some.
For some, yes, that's right. The other question that we might want to ask, in Mark 4, 11 to 12, if you'd look at that, Mark 4, 11 to 12, and then I want to get to some principles that I'm actually picking up from somebody else. And he was saying to them, "You have been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but those who are outside get everything in parables, in order that while seeing they may see and not perceive, and while hearing they may not hear and not understand, lest they return and be forgiven." There is this sense in that God often speaks to us in metaphors and symbols. Metaphors and symbols. And he does it in Scripture. He did it in his teaching sometimes when he was actually walking the earth. But there was kind of this sense in that it was almost a little bit cryptic. And it was kind of like you didn't know how, kind of how to make sense of that apart from his explaining it. And I think that's kind of where we are with the dream stuff, is that I think God is inviting us in to kind of a dialogue or a conversation with himself, whereby he wants to not just reveal information, but bring us into a deeper relationship, a deeper sense of walking with him, of cooperating with him. That does a couple of things. One is that it's transformational for us, but it also, I think, enables us to do things that we couldn't do if we simply received the information. What we want is we want a map, and the more detailed, the better. Right?
If you don't write it down, you don't have a map.
Well, okay, there is that part of it. But just generally in life, what we want from God is that we want a map. We say, okay, God, what is it that you want me to do, or today, or whether it's next week, or a month from now? And how do I get there? You want me to go to Fremont, and what roads do you want me to take? That's what we want. What God gives us, generally, is a destination and a compass. And he says, I want to walk with you to get you where we need to go. And so I think part of the interpretation, the working with dreams and all of that is that God is really inviting us into a conversation, a relationship, whereby he wants to walk with us through all of that. And part of what we're doing here is we're drawing upon things that we know to be true of God generally and what he has for us in life and how he interacts with us generally. In that God is typically all about the journey and not the destination, whereas we tend to be just the reverse. We just want to get to the destination in the shortest amount of time possible. But if you look at all of the biblical characters, typically what God does is that he brings revelation. He says, this is what I want to do in your life, and this is where I want you to end up. But it's generally many months or maybe even years out in the future. And that then upon that revelation, what he does then is that he drops them into the process that's going to transform their character, their faith, so that they become the people that God needs them to be to do what he wants them to do out here. And so it's in that process or in that journey that God works in us and rolls us into people of faith and character, perseverance, all of that. Yeah.
He gave 13 years.
Actually, if you take the life of Joseph, he has this revelation, this dream, and it wasn't that his interpretation or his understanding of it was incorrect. But he proclaims it to his brothers and to his dad and all of that. And then immediately what happens is what? Exactly the opposite. Yeah.
And yet twice.
Right. Yeah, so God confirmed it. Yeah. And I think, again, Jerry, the fact that it's confirmed, maybe not even once, but twice, maybe even more than that, is that God is really interested in having that happen. At 17 years of age, Joseph was not mature enough, nor was he of sufficient character to be second only to Pharaoh in Egypt. The power would have corrupted him. But it was in that process, in that 13 years of being humbled, of being falsely accused, of being thrown into prison, all of that, where he learned what it meant to walk out his call or his destiny under the power of God. What I've discovered over the last 6 to 9 months is that I'll ask God maybe for a season on a particular dream or something that he's shown me in Scripture, and I'll press into it for maybe a week, 10 days, a couple of weeks, and then something will happen, I'll get busy, and I'll kind of forget about it. And then it's like several months later, all of a sudden, the answer will come. And so we just have to recognize that God's timetable for revealing things, you know, we have this expectation that, okay, well, I had the dream last night, Saturday night. I'm working with it this morning. And so sometime this afternoon, I should have. Yeah, after my afternoon respite. Right? I mean generally that's kind of how we function, is that we go through this chronological, this progressive kind of interaction with God, and we say, okay, well, I did this and now I've done this, and now God, it's your turn to do this. Well, we're all laughing, but that's how it works. Yeah. It's human nature. And so the reason I'm kind of pressing this a little bit is that what happens then is that we get frustrated. And we get frustrated with the process, and so we set the process aside saying that, well, this isn't real, or it doesn't work, or I'm just imagining things, or whatever. So that the frustration really kind of derails then the vibrancy and the legitimacy of the process that God wants to lead us in. Okay. Well, I'm just going to throw up on the board here, and we'll talk about some principles that actually come from a book that my daughter Katie gave me. She got when she was at school this past semester. I don't even know how to spell the guy's name. It's Dr. Joe, Ibojie, however you pronounce that. I don't. Sure. But he's got a couple of books out, and I'm not going to go through all of the detail that he has here, but just kind of some general points from Ibojie, maybe? I'm not sure if that's how it's... Could be. Yeah. So this is on improving our interpretive skills. And the very first one that he mentions is what I said earlier, is that interpretation comes from God. Our tendency is that we have the dream, we write it out, and again, our tendency is just to kind of put our mind to figuring out, okay, what does this dream mean? And I think that to respect kind of this principle is that we would want to, and I'm not sure how to say it exactly, but to kind of step back into our spirit and disengage the mind so that God is able to bring revelation to our spirit. So it doesn't mean that we wouldn't study or maybe use our mind to bring some meaning and value to the different symbols that are in the dream, but to remember that the interpretation itself, and further, I think you'd want to say the application, comes from God, which probably puts us into a place where we do more with prayer, putting ourselves into a place of waiting expectation, versus trying to try and figure something out. that's probably going to require of us some discipline to get into a place where we can actually just kind of be quiet and sit before the Lord. Worship probably is a big part of this as well. And this is just a struggle for me. Because I like to kind of set my mind to figuring things out, to study, to learn, to read, to, okay, what does this symbol mean? What is that? You know, all of that different thing. The other piece is that I'm guessing that the interpretation is going to come in segments. There's going to be, all of a sudden you'll have understanding about one particular aspect or segment of the dream, and you'll say, oh, okay, now I see what that is. But it doesn't explain or bring definition to the whole dream. I don't know, how many journal their dreams? Well, you'll just have to quit sleeping until you get caught up. Yeah, the conversation, or what Tom just brought up here, is that the symbol, the B-52, I suppose it's helpful to ask other people, but ultimately you're going to have to decide, well, what does that mean to you? Just an airplane landing. But when you think of a B-52 just by itself, if you had to assign a meaning or a value to it, it would be power. Okay. Okay. So that then, it, apart from whatever the person said to you, is the meaning for you in that context is that represents power. Now, what Capehart Road means, I don't know. You'll just have to press into that and ask God about that. But you said it took place in the context of a larger kind of counseling. Well, I think we probably can all relate to that, in that we've had periodically dreams that were just like that, that we knew immediately what they were about and what we were supposed to do with them and all of that. I would just offer for your consideration that there might be other dreams that you're having that aren't quite as apparent, that if you were to work with it a little bit, you could discover other things that God was seeking to communicate to you. And so, you know, take those that are maybe not quite as clear as what you've got already, and, you know, just kind of press in and pray about them and ask God about it. I think they can be a tremendous source of encouragement, because I think God will often encourage us in our dreams as well, in that he's either affirming or reconfirming things that he's maybe told us or has showed us in his word that he's wanting to do. And that it's just a reminder that, yeah, I'm still about this in your life. And, you know, keep pressing in. And so, again, it's all part of that God just so desires to have kind of this really close and intimate walk or relationship with us. And so he's seeking to kind of reveal himself, to reveal what he has for us, and he does that in so many different ways that even when we're asleep, it's like his spirit is bearing witness with our spirit that we belong to him, that he's wanting these things for us, that he's warning us about things, you know, maybe decisions where we're about to make a bad decision, something like that. And so he'll bring that and he'll say, no, don't do that, or don't do that now, or, you know. And it's just maybe an area of our relationship with God that we don't generally think of all that much. And again, because of our Western kind of mindset and the culture in which we live, it's deemed as really unreliable. And yet, as Rick has just pointed out, that many times what God shows us in our dreams is the very answer to what it is that's needed in our lives to bring resolution to an issue or to a problem. Jerry, I wonder if it would be worth, and Cheryl, I know that you've talked about this too, and I'm thinking about even in my own life, as you think through kind of this flow and this quantity of dreams, if there'd be some way to segment out the ones. And, you know, if you've got a notebook full or half full of dreams that you've not yet processed or don't feel like you've had interpretation or meaning attached to them, to kind of go back through them and just kind of prayerfully ask the Lord, is there a way that I can cull out or segment out or identify the ones that are most important for me to kind of work with right now? I just have to believe that God would do that. Yeah. And they've decreased. Okay. Well, I think we're right at our quitting time, so we'll maybe stop there. But I did last time we were together, I did introduce a book that I thought was pretty interesting, and Deb ended up taking the copy that I had. But it's by James and Michael Ann Gall, and it's on dream language. And in here, in the back half of the book, he's got some interpretation principles, but then also he assigns, the different types of dreams that one can have, where there's animals or there's just different experiences that are kind of common to humankind. Have you worked with it at all? No, you took it. It was bigger than this. They've reduced the size. It's more like a workbook kind of a thing, but it's the same content. Yeah, you took it. God is my witness. No, it was no dream. It was. All right, let's pray and we'll be done. Father, we thank you so much that you love us so much that you communicate to us in our dreams. And Lord, we do desire to not only hear you, but to receive and have the ability to interpret and to apply those things that you're revealing to us, that we might walk in obedience to your revelation. So wherever we are today, whether we're not having enough dreams or we're not remembering dreams or we're having too many dreams, Lord, that you would take each of us individually and grant us the grace, the tools that we need to take and move forward from where we are, so that we could increase in our ability, increase in our confidence, in hearing your voice and walking in obedience to it. Ask for your blessing on the rest of this day, and Lord, that you'd guide and direct us in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.